World leaders at the G20 summit promised today to improve intelligence sharing following the Paris attacks. One leader warned of the changing character of terrorism. That was Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi. India has suffered its own terrorist attacks, including the 2008 siege of Mumbai that killed more people than died in Paris. India is home to the second largest Muslim population in the world, but since Hindu nationalist leader Modi took power last year, many say things are getting unpleasant for India's largest minority. In recent weeks, dozens of intellectuals have returned national awards to protest what writer Salman Rushdie called thuggish violence against ordinary Muslims tacitly condoned by the government. Arundhati Roy is the author of The God of Small Things. She's in New Delhi. Arundhati Roy, you're returning your national prize for best screenplay. Can you tell us why?
Because there's been a terrible situation building in India. It isn't by any means new, but it's just shifted into very high gear recently. And that is because we have a government in power that quite openly has in the past campaigned for, you know, India in some ways to be called a Hindu nation. And we are witnessing an ideological sort of tectonic shift where there have been lynchings, there have been killings, there have been shooting of writers. Quite close to Delhi, where I live, a Muslim man was lynched by a mob suspected for eating beef. And then, you know, the Prime Minister said nothing.
Well, certainly we've heard about the attacks against Muslims who were suspected of eating beef. Many of these farmers, of course, were not, in fact, doing so. But communal violence is by no means anything new in India, unfortunately. So what evidence is there that these lynchings and mob-related violence that you're referring to is actually up under this government?
Well, actually, this kind of communal killing, I would call it a pogrom, is a form of electioneering. And when the Prime Minister was actually campaigning in the general elections, Reuters asked him a question, which was whether he regretted, not whether he was responsible, but whether he regretted the daylight massacre of more than 1,000 Muslims in his state when he was Chief Minister. And his reply was, even if I was sitting in a car and it ran over a dog, I would regret it.
So sort of comparing dogs to Muslims in this case, it seemed as if.
Well, yes, but what I'm talking about is a historical process that started, I mean, before 1925. But in 1925, the organization to which the Prime Minister belongs, the RSS, which openly says that it wants India to be a Hindu nation, was created. And Modi and many of the people in the judiciary and now being placed in academic positions in the university, all of them belong to this organization. So it's not just, I mean, we shouldn't just think about the killings and lynchings. We should look at what is being put into place.
Not to excuse Prime Minister Modi's silence about the anti-Muslim attacks, which his critics say have tacitly endorsed Hindu extremism, but where was the outrage by intellectuals against, for example, Indira Gandhi's harsh emergency rule in the 1970s or during the pogroms that killed thousands of innocent Sikhs after Mrs. Gandhi herself was assassinated?
There was plenty of outrage. It might not have taken the form of returning awards, which is not a big deal. It's just something to do in the face of a lack of political opposition. During Mrs. Gandhi's time, during the emergency, there was political opposition. That's why the emergency was called. But right now, the Congress barely exists. In any case, nobody is justifying the Congress. You know, the Congress is the party that sowed the seeds for what is being reaped now by the BJP.
And you yourself turned down an award when the Congress government was in power.
Yes,
in 2005.
Yes, absolutely. But now what we're seeing is a situation where you're even almost grateful for the hypocrisy of the Congress, because this open bigoted butchery is so terrifying.
Well, some of Modi's allies say that you called the prime minister's nomination for candidate for his party for prime minister a tragedy before he was ever elected, and that you and other intellectuals who are returning your wards have been compared to either Congress sympathizers or Marxists, Leninists, communists, and that, you know, you were predisposed against Modi in the first place. Is there any truth to that?
Absolutely. I was predisposed to him because, you know, I do feel that to have been chief minister at a time when thousands of people were being lynched and driven out of their homes is a good reason to be predisposed to somebody. Predisposed against him. I've been writing about it since 2001.
All right. Well, earlier this month, a group of 36 other intellectuals in India spoke out against those of you who are returning your awards. This rival group says that the artists, writers, scientists who are criticizing Modi are Marxist, Leninists, politically motivated. And they are also asking, how is a central government responsible for communal violence that's happening at the state level?
Look, the interesting thing about the hundreds of people and writers and academics who are returning their awards is that they're not a group. And the people who actually marched in support of Modi, led by an actor called Anupam Kher, whose wife is a BJP MP, and who goes back a long way. Anybody who criticizes the government is called not Indian, is called Marxist-Leninist. Mm. But the fact is that you can't say this about these hundreds of people because they are a very disparate group, and I think that's what's causing them, the establishment, to be so unnerved, because it's not group activity. You know, one happened, then another, then another, then another.
You've called this politics by other means. What do you hope to accomplish by this movement?
It's not a movement, you know, in a way. It is and it isn't, in the sense that what has happened, I think, if you followed the elections in the state of Bihar, where Modi was trounced. It was a humiliation for the BJP. And all the people who worked on the ground did say that, you know, the fact that scientists, academics, writers, filmmakers felt strongly enough to do this really gave a message that there was something very disturbing. And that was backed by people in the poorest state voting decisively against the BJP.
Mm. The columnist Talveen Singh has written that this revolt shows freedom of expression has never been more robust in India. Isn't this debate a good sign?
No, of course it's a very good sign. But, you know, let's not forget that it started because someone was shot for what he wrote.
You're referring to the scholar M.M. Kalburgi.
Yes, he was writing against a particular extremely right-wing group, and there were others too, and they just rang the bell, he opened the door, and they shot him. You know, but now, because of the result of the Bihar election, the atmosphere has definitely lightened, because what seemed like something very dark forces closing in have been pushed back a bit by this extraordinary election result.
So when he came to the United States recently, from the White House all the way to Silicon Valley, Prime Minister Modi was really feted. He was treated as this modern, reforming the Indian economy, cutting red tape, Twitter-savvy technocrat. And yet the other face that we're hearing about from you is an ideologue who supposedly is promoting a retrograde, non-secular view of India. Who really is Mr. Modi?
Well, Mr. Modi, sadly for him, stuck between these two. Like, on the one hand, you want to talk about smart cities and attract foreign capital and talk about cyberspace. And on the other hand, you have your ministers talking about cultural pollution. And he's being torn apart by this. And I think this party will implode because of this, because their cadre and what the cadre wants is very different from what promises and big capital want, and both are backing him.
Recently, I saw in the news that you met with Edward Snowden, the famous NSA whistleblower. What do you feel his next moves are?
Well, I think that what he has revealed is important, and that it would be a good move to get him back home and have a proper conversation about what he's saying about surveillance and privacy, not just for the Americans, but for all of us who are being spied on all the time. through our most favorite objects, our cell phones.
All right. Well, a warning for us all. From Booker Prize Award winner, author Arundhati Roy, speaking to us from New Delhi, India, thank you so much for joining us.